This is the word of the Lord found in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Matthew chapter 4, the first 11 verses. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward an hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. This is familiar scripture, and just to tell you the truth, my mind was on a different text this morning in the Old Testament. But on the drive over here, this one came sharply into my mind, and I felt like I'd better try to speak what came sharply into my mind. And just briefly, to state the great example that our Lord Jesus gave us here, he resisted a temptation from the devil to self-exaltation, another temptation to self-destruction, and another temptation of negotiation. And the reason I bring that up is because I see many of the Lord's children facing those same temptations today in those categories and falling. Not falling away from God's grace and everlasting love. God will have all his children in heaven. But falling as they dwell from day to day here, suffering great misery as a result. So I want to talk about these three branches of temptation. The temptation of self-exaltation. That is the temptation to exalt yourself. Very real, at least it is with me. The temptation to self-destruction, that is failing to exalt yourself to go to the other ditch and hurt yourself. Brothers and sisters, that's the one that actually brought my mind back to this message. Sandy and I were driving on our way to a meeting this morning, and as we pulled up near to an intersection in the road, we saw these tire tracks laid down. Somebody, evidently recently, probably last night, had left tire tracks in a big circle right in the intersection and then S-curves way up into the road. And, you know, I expect that they probably were thinking of demonstrating their prowess as a driver, maybe their power as a car. But the end result was to destroy a lot of their tires. That's really the result. I doubt if anyone wise is going away impressed at their driving skill and the power of their car, but their tires are surely going away worse than they were when they began those maneuvers. And when I thought of that self-destruction, that's just a small thing there. It's not very big, but it brought it sharply back to mind. How often we're tempted to self-exaltation, self-destruction, and failing that, Satan tempts us with negotiation, Because his end result is to get you to worship him. But failing that, to get you to worship yourself or destroy yourself. The thief comes not but for to kill and steal and destroy. Jesus Christ has come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Let me tell you, him coming to give eternal life, that might is will. He gives life to all that the Father gave him, and it shall not be taken away. But do you know that we are blessed with an opportunity, with however many or few days we have while we live here, to live a life in fellowship with our Lord and Savior that's abundant? May not be abundant in this world's possessions, but abundant in closeness and fellowship and the riches of God's presence and his peace. It's an abundant life, abundant in family connections, abundant in friends, abundant in doing what we're created to do, which is to praise the God of the universe, to give pleasure. So I want to speak of these three things, the temptations here, and I'm sure you've heard him preached many times, but he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness in order to face temptation. This was right after the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ, which the book of Luke tells us happened when he was 30 years old. So the Lord was 30 years old. It was time to begin a 3.5-year ministry on the earth before his hour would come when he went to the cross to pay for all of the sins of all of the people that God had given him before creation. So he had been baptized, and now he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And part of that time in the wilderness was 40 days and 40 nights of fasting. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is and was and ever will be the Son of the living God. Do you know that he created the universe? All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Do you know that he upholds all things by the word of his power? He is the Son of God. He's the Creator. But for the sake of love, for the sake of fulfilling the law of God, for the sake of giving life everlasting to the children that were given him, he took on himself the nature of sinful, the likeness of sinful flesh, and became a human being. And he yet is a human being at this time. He's a glorified human being. He can walk through walls. He can ascend to heaven. He can eat or he can refrain from eating. But he's a human being sitting on the throne of the universe, making intercession to God for us, and he's coming back one day. But the Lord Jesus Christ was not glorified at this point, but he was a human being, incarnate, born of his mother Mary, who conceived him and delivered him as a virgin. Not only was she a virgin when the Holy Spirit overshadowed her and she conceived, but she knew no man until she was delivered of her firstborn son, which was the Lord Jesus Christ. She was yet a virgin when he was born. But he was the Son of God as well as the Son of Man. And after 40 days of fasting in the wilderness, he was hungry. So here comes the first temptation. You're feeling weak. You're feeling hungry. You're feeling down. Exalt yourself. Make these stones into bread if you're the Son of God. Do that. He resisted that temptation. He was living and dwelling on earth as the Son of Man. He resisted the temptation to exalt himself. Now, brothers and sisters, this is a strong temptation. As a matter of fact, that seems to be the chief temptation by which the human race fell. When the serpent came to Eve in the garden and deceived her, he deceived her by pointing out the one item that is mentioned in Scripture that Adam was instructed to avoid, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which was in the midst of the garden. For God had told Adam, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Well, that's the one thing the serpent brings up to Eve in order to deceive her. Hath God said, thou shalt not eat of every tree which is in the garden? Eve said, of every tree of the garden we may eat, but of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we may not eat, neither may we touch it, lest we die. Now here comes the temptation. First, a direct contradiction to the word of God. Satan said, thou shalt not surely die. This is how he introduces this temptation of self-exaltation. Lift yourself up, Eve. Get Adam to lift himself up. So he introduced that by first contradicting the authority and the perfection of the word of God. God said, don't eat of it, because when you do, you'll die. Satan said, thou shalt not surely die. Thou shalt not surely die. Just a direct contradiction. But he doesn't finish it up there. He doesn't just contradict the word of God and leave it there. Now comes the temptation to self-exaltation. He says, for God doth know that if you eat thereof, you shall be wise as gods, knowing both good and evil. Now, notice the nature of this contradiction. It's got an element of, you know, you think God's been real good to you. You think God has given you such a wonderful existence, having dominion over the earth, and a good job dressing and keeping the garden, giving you to one another to keep you company so that you wouldn't be lonely, giving you the wonder of an unfallen, unspoiled earth. And you think God's been good to you, but he's holding out the best stuff. If you had this wisdom that comes from eating this fruit, you would be as gods. God's holding back the best part of existence from you. You know what Psalm 84 says? For the Lord our God is a sun and a shield. No good thing will he withhold from him that walketh uprightly. God does not hold back on anything you need. Now, you may not get a lot of things you want, but God does not hold out on you. If we had the proper view, we see we don't deserve anything, even existence, from the Lord, but he gives it to us of his own grace and purpose, and no good thing will he withhold from him that walketh uprightly. But here's this part of the temptation. God, you think he's been good to you, but he's holding out on you, and he's withheld the really good thing from you. Why don't you take it in hand to exalt yourself to get this good thing that God has denied you? And so here comes the process of sin. She looked at the tree and saw the fruit, that it was pleasant to the eyes, first through the eye, and that it was good for food. And she put forth her hand, next is from the eye is the hand, and she took of the fruit and it eat thereof. Then you take it in. And this is the procession of most sins. You see something that causes you to want it. You reach forth and take something because you do want it. And then you take it in as part of yourself, thinking that there will be a blessing. Happens over and over again in the Bible. Achan, after the fall of Jericho, saw a wedge of gold and some shekels of silver and some really nice Babylonian clothing in Jericho. And though God had commanded to take nothing of the accursed city, he said, I saw these things, I took thereof, and now behold, they are hid under my tent. See the same process that Eve went through? Is it any wonder that the Lord says, if your eye offends you, pluck it out? If your hand offends you, cut it off? Better that you should enter into glory one eye and maimed than that you should enter hellfire. Now, is the Lord talking there that you ought to mutilate yourself to keep yourself out of the lake of fire? Absolutely not. He's talking to his disciples saying, rather than suffer a hell on earth by causing yourself to be cut off by God's fellowship from God's fellowship and peace, it's better to do whatever it takes to interrupt that process of seeing stuff that God forbids you to have, of reaching forth and taking stuff, and bring it in into your life. But look at that temptation. It is to exalt yourself. Achan would end up a little bit richer than other people in Israel at that time. Eve thought she would end up somewhat wiser than she had been. There was a desire to exalt yourself. The Lord resisted that temptation, and he resisted it as an example to us by Scripture, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God." Notice, the Lord is giving us an example not only of scriptural resistance to temptation, but of resisting this idea to exalt yourself. Because we have over and over again, "Humble yourself, therefore, in the sight of God, and he shall lift you up. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land." Over and over and over again, "Humble yourself, humble yourself." The Lord Jesus Christ, he, being equal with God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, took upon himself the form of a servant, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Over and over and over and over again, we see it in Scripture. A child of God is not supposed to wait for God to humble him or somebody else to humble him. He's supposed to undertake something he's got the ability to do, to humble himself. And the Lord Jesus Christ was doing that here. He was humbling himself. He would go hungry a little while longer. He would resist this temptation to exalt himself, to strengthen himself, to please himself. And does that mean good food and pleasure is bad? No. Brothers and sisters, it's a gift of God whom he gives riches and wealth and power to eat thereof. I hope we have a good lunch today. Hope we enjoy one another's company. Hope we enjoy the food. But the Lord had been sent forth for a specific trial that involved a specific time of fasting, and he was not going to use the power of the Son of God to exalt himself as the Son of Man. Was not going to do it. Neither should we. It's so hard to resist. It's hard for me to resist. It's hard for me to resist exalting myself so that others think more of me. It's hard to resist exalting myself so that I pat myself on my own back. It's really something difficult to do. And it takes practice, prayer, and Scripture to humble yourself. But it's Christ-like, and it's a way to overcome temptation. Now, the second temptation came along. "Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Notice how skillful Satan is at quoting Scripture. Psalm 91. He is. But what's the temptation here? It's not the self-exaltation. It's the self-destruction. You do something like this. Make it showy. Make it to grab everybody's attention. Hurt yourself. Endanger yourself. If God loves you, he'll take care of you. And the case of the matter is, sometimes when you're in danger, even danger sometimes we put ourselves in, God is often merciful, and he does take care of it. But it's wrong to go there and harm ourselves expecting that God is obligated to take care of us. That is a temptation to self-destruction. And brothers and sisters, I see this in the lives of so many children of God. It happens, people taking drugs, fentanyl, heroin, cocaine, crystal meth, all these things people do, knowing that it gives them pleasure, but knowing that it does long-term damage to their health and safety. They're trading long-term health and safety for a short-term high or pleasure, and it's a temptation of the devil. It happens in sexuality. People will succumb to a short-term tryst or pleasure or rendezvous, thinking that they feel more powerful, they feel more cared for, they feel more loved. Short-term thing causing damage in multiple families, causing damage for others that love them, and causes long-term damage. It's destructive. Sometimes we can be self-destructive in other ways. We can be immoderate in our use of food. We can be immoderate, that is not controlled, in our time at sleep. We can be immoderate one way or the other in terms of exercise. Some people don't do it at all. Some people make almost a god of their own bodies. Bodily exercise profiteth, it does, little, that means for a little time, but godliness is profitable unto all. It's a blessing now, and having a promise of the life that's coming, it's a godliness is profitable all the time. Bodily exercise is good. I enjoy the endorphins from it. It's just a short time. Brothers and sisters, watch out for Satan's temptation to self-exaltation. Watch out for his temptations to self-destruction. Anger, unresolved, can be both. You know, sometimes we get angry because we have exalted our own idea of our own dignity, that somebody's statements to us cause us then to speak words in anger that would all of a sudden sometimes can lead to blows. You can go from one ditch to another. Why do you think it says, "Be ye angry and sin not, neither give place to the devil. Let not the sun go down on your wrath." Watch out for anger. Sometimes anger is justified. There's such a thing as righteous anger. The Lord overturned the tables of the money changers in the temple. But watch out that when anger arises, first check it out and ask, "Lord, is this anger righteous?" Take that long. And then, "Lord, and what I'm affixing to do as a result of this anger, is it sinful?" If you'll ask yourself those two questions when anger arises in your bosom, then you'll know where to proceed with action or not. It may be an anger you just need to take to the Lord. It may be an anger that you need to keep within. Or it may be an anger you need to act upon. You know, Paul got mad one time. He was there on the island of Cyprus preaching to the leader of the island there. And as he was preaching, there was this sorcerer there, Elymas the sorcerer, that began to try to seek to dissuade this governor of the island from listening to the words of truth and the faith that Paul was describing. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God came upon Paul, and filled with the Holy Ghost, he put his eyes on this sorcerer, and he says that he was a child of wrath and that he would be blind for a season because of what he was doing. He was a child of the devil, and he would be blind for a season. And all of a sudden, the sorcerer went blind for a while and had to be led about by the hand, and then Paul could continue his message. You see, we've got to watch out for anger. Doesn't mean never to have it. God has it. Sometimes we should have it. Be careful what you do with it. First ask, "Is it a good anger, Lord?" And then second, "Lord, what would you have me to do with this?" And it may be that the Lord would have you take that anger to him, pour it out in prayer in his presence, and wait and ask him again in the morning. Maybe. It's a measure of self-control. Temperance or self-control is part of the fruit of the Spirit. Because God himself gets angry, but he is slow to anger and of great mercy. So Satan tempted him with self-exaltation, and the Lord resisted it with Scripture. He tempted him with self-destruction, and the Lord resisted it with Scripture. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. This is an outcome that the devil is really seeking. He tempts you. And notice in the first temptations, he didn't offer to give anything. He's a negotiator. He knows, don't give anything up if you don't have to. You know, if you can just tempt them to exalt themselves, you don't have to part with anything. Or if you can tempt them to destroy themselves because they're angry, because they're seeking quick pleasure, because they're looking for short-term benefit at the risk of long-term destruction, let them destroy themselves. But failing that, he may offer to give up something. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you this. He really doesn't have much to give, and he's got nothing worthwhile. Because the glory of the kingdoms of this world are going to pass away. They're going to be consumed with a fervent heat. This is really a very small little trinket. You know, we feel so bad for people who gave away vast swaths of land for little bitty trinkets and tools and things. That's the way Satan deals. He offers to give you some fame. He offers to give you some glory. He offers to give you some power. And he's, you got to admit, he can give this little temporary power over your poor brothers and sisters and other little human beings that are struggling through life. Does that make us feel good? To have power over our poor fellow creatures in that way? Yeah, there's something within us that feels good. And brothers and sisters, avoid it. Avoid it. Self-exaltation, self-destruction, and this negotiation. He may well offer you something, but what he's got to offer is small, it's temporary, and it's not worth what you give up. Because you are created for the pleasure of God. In Revelation chapter 4, says, blessed. He says, worthy art thou, O Lord, to receive blessing and honor and glory and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were and are created. You're created for the pleasure of God. By grace, you're redeemed for the everlasting pleasure and glory and purpose and peace and joy of God. That's what you're made for, and that's what you as a child of God are saved for. That's your... Will you give up your time on earth of doing what you're made for something that he wants to negotiate about? Flee the devil. I mean, resist the devil and he will flee from you, the book of James says. Now the Lord did, and he resisted it all with scripture. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Because he resisted this temptation, and he resisted other temptations, and he did all the will of his Father while he was on earth, when his hour was come, do you know what he was? He was the pure and spotless, holy Lamb of God. And going to the cross when his hour was come, as the pure and spotless, unblemished Lamb of God, when he went to the cross and suffered the justice of God in behalf of those for whom he died, their sins were put away successfully as far as the east is from the west. Now, I'm not claiming that your resistance of temptation is going to have an achievement that great, but I want you to know that when you do resist the temptation, that you will do things that please God, and you will have a fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll have a fellowship having been tempted and withstood it. That'll be something you'll have in common with him. For when he went to the cross, he went as the spotless sacrifice. He went as the great high priest. He even went as the door of the sheep. And as on Passover, that spotless lamb was sacrificed and his blood was put on the door, the doorpost and lintels. So the great high priest took the spotless Lamb of God. Jesus Christ was the priest. Jesus Christ was the Lamb. And His blood was shed. And He was the door of the sheep. And what day was it when He went to the cross? Passover. And so Passover was fulfilled. And so the law of God was fulfilled. And so He said, it is finished. And so He rose again the third day. And it's for that reason His holy life, His triumph over temptation, His sacrifice, His love, and His victory. That's why we have a strong and lively hope to live forever in the presence of our Lord Jesus. May God bless you. Let's try to pray. Our Father in heaven, dear Lord, thank You for Your abundant goodness upon us. Father, You know what we go through. You know the many temptations that Your children face. And Lord, it seems that as they grow closer to You in discipleships, the temptations just increase. Oh Lord, we beg that You would help us to humble ourselves, that we would take care of the vessel that You've given us and the time You've given us here on earth. And that, dear God, we wouldn't negotiate or even communicate with the enemy. Father, we pray that You will help us to resist him and draw close to You, Lord, that You might draw close to us in fellowship, that we might feel Your peace, that we might feel Your holy presence, that we might be better at loving our brothers and sisters and glorifying Thy name. Thank You for Your greatness and Your goodness and Your mercy and Your grace upon us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.